Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, May 7th, 2016. This is episode 1285. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere, using your phone or tablet. For your free trial, visit texture.com/techguy. And by Optical Cables by Corning. Corning's incredibly durable Thunderbolt and USB 3.0 optical cables are longer, thinner, lighter, and stronger. Go to opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more. And by PillPack, a full-service online pharmacy that combines modern technology, convenient packaging, and personalized service to make your life easier. Visit PillPack.com/twit to save $20 on vitamins and over-the-counter medications when you transfer your prescriptions. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches and all that jazz. Home theater in a little bit with Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. And our hearts and minds and prayers and thoughts go out to our Canadian friends in Alberta, northern Alberta. That fire up there. Wow. 8888 Ask Leo if you have a question about how to fireproof your computer or clean it up afterwards. 888-827-5536. If you're outside the area, U.S. and Canada, that is, you're still toll-free if you use Skype out. Won't cost you anything. Our website is techguylabs.com. That's something to keep in mind. You don't have to write anything down except that, because everything I mention will be linked on the website, and it's free, and there's no sign-up. You just go there, techguylabs.com. That way, this is as a convenience to you. You don't have to write anything down while you're driving. I don't want you doing that. Got the new HTC 10 phone. This is, it's been a little, after the Galaxy S7 and the iPhone SE, we got a little wait now to the fall for most of the new phones. But here's one from HTC. HTC's been struggling a little bit. I really liked the One, and that was a couple of years ago. You had a One, didn't you? I think you did, Kim. You still
carry it around. Yeah. But, yeah.
So this is, they did a few, they did like another One, the M7, then they did the M8, and then they did the like One Plus, and they did all kinds of variants. But they've kind of hit their stride, they're back again now. And this is the HTC 10, or I guess you could say 1.0, right? I like the HTC aluminum bodies. I really like, they contrast those to the Galaxy glass bodies, which I've found to be very fragile. I have an S7, which I cracked in the first few days. I have to carry it around now in a kind of a rubber case, which takes a little of the beauty away. It's a gorgeous phone, the Galaxy S7, but if you have to keep it in a case, what does that matter? This one, I think, will be a little bit more robust. Very much like the One, if you're used to it. It's an LCD screen. Samsung really seems to have cornered the market on OLED screens. They do such beautiful screens. But this is a very nice LCD screen. It's funny. I think a lot of people, especially HTC, but LG and Samsung maybe a little bit too, suffered last year because Qualcomm put out a terrible chip. And they all were using the Qualcomm Snapdragon 810, the 810. And it wasn't a good chip. It had problems. It overheated. Everybody who used it ended up underclocking it so it wouldn't get too hot. It was just it happens. Bad design. But that's, everybody uses, to the most part, everybody uses the Qualcomm chips. And so when it's a bad design, everybody suffers. And so we had a bad year in 2015 with the high-end smartphones. This year it's the 820, which is, in every way that the 810 was terrible, is great. It's fast. It's cool. It's very energy efficient. And because now the manufacturers are pairing it with the latest version of Android 6.0 Marshmallow, which has a lot of battery saving features. The new phones are really respond to my number one complaint about last year and even the year before, which was battery life was terrible on Android. It's improved a lot now, and the S7 is really a champ. I'm very happy with the S7. This HTC 10 is a little bit, according to all the synthetic benchmarks, a little bit lower, and in my experience also a little bit lower battery life. Probably enough for me to get through the day. That's all I really care about. I expect to charge these phones every night. That's what I do. It's probably what you do, too. You get home. Maybe after you go out clubbing or the movies or watching Game of Thrones, you go to bed 10, 11 o'clock at night, plug everything in. Take off my watch, plug it in. Take off my phone, plug it in. Take my computer, plug it in. Everything gets plugged into charge overnight now. It's just a habit. So I don't mind if I have to do that with a phone. And it's early days yet. I've only had this a couple of days, so I'm not sure. But I suspect, just kind of gauging it from how I've used it in the last couple of days, I think it'll get through to that, plug it in about 10 or 11 p.m. and get through the day. Just about, barely. If you like, it's really going to come down now to, which I love this. Both of these, the Galaxy S7, which is still my current favorite, I think, in the marketplace, Android phone, and the HTC 10 are really kind of very similar. A little bit better battery life on the S7, maybe a little bit more exciting screen because it's an OLED. But on the other side of it, the HTC 10 has a USB-C connector. I really like these new C connectors. I was disappointed Samsung didn't adopt it. It will. It'll have to do that next year or the year after. That's going to be the new thing going forward, is the USB-C connector. These are nice. They have a lot of advantages, which is someday I'll tell you about. Unlike the Galaxy S7, which flips the standard Android button order, HTC has decided to go with what everybody else is going with. I appreciate that. Now I have to unlearn Samsung and use the normal order again. They have a home button, but it's not doesn't move. You don't press it like you do on the iPhone or the S7. It's just there, and it's the fingerprint reader. Just as fast, just as fluid. It's a nice phone. If you're an HTC fan, I think these are the differences now are like, well, I like the HTC way of doing things, or I like the Samsung way of doing things, or I like a pure Google Android way, so I'll get the Nexus 6P. All three of those phones are very comparable. Camera seems quite good. I like the HTC Zoes. They're still here. The Zoe, Apple copied this, of course, and nobody gave credit to HTC for inventing it. The idea that when you take a picture, it also records a few seconds of high-def video around it. So you have your choice of a still, but you can look at other stills within that video and choose one of those, or you can get a little mini movie. I like that. The camera's very nice on this phone. It's a fast camera, much like the Galaxy S7. I haven't taken enough pictures to really know if it's better or worse. The S7 is such a good camera. I think the S7 just edges out this phone slightly in most respects. But I think the HTC 10, if you're an HTC fan, which I am, and you remember with fondness the HTC 1 M7 or M8, this will make you feel right at home. You go, oh yeah, I remember those. I like that. I like that phone. It's almost exactly as I expected, which is nothing exceptional and not beating the S7, but comparable, competing well. Well done. With news from Microsoft, they are going to charge for Windows 10, the Windows 10 upgrade, starting July 29th, the one-year anniversary of the release of Windows 10. So it'll be $110 for the home version, which is what they charge now if you don't have an upgrade. I like Windows 10. I think it's a worthwhile upgrade. If you are a Windows user, you probably should upgrade to Windows 10 unless you have software or hardware that really won't work, that refuses to budge. But I have a bad taste in my mouth from how Microsoft has pushed this on us. I don't like to be pushed. Maybe that's just me. Some people just kind of, you know how with teen, I guess I never got out of that teenage thing, you know, when your parents tell you to do something, so you do the opposite just to show that you're an independent thinker. I never grew out of that. It's not going to use you. You're going to push that on me. The heck with you. I don't care if you're better. The heck with you. some real complaints about Apple Music. Now, another user's come forward saying Apple Music deleted my music, replaced it with what it thought was better choices. Apple Music is about to be revamped with iOS 10, which will be out this fall. Nevertheless, some real cautionary tales for people who are thinking about moving to Apple Music. If you have a lot of your own music on your Apple iTunes library, it might be worth staying away. We can talk about that and anything else you want to talk about. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your call's next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888-ASK-LEO. Kim Schaffer is handling the phones this morning. Hello, Kim.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Well, your shirt's making me happy.
It was a kind of a rainy day in Northern California. We had thunder and lightning on Friday, which we don't usually get. So I thought, I'm gonna put on a fancy, flowery shirt. This comes to me from Mexico, from San Miguel de Allende.
Somebody was asking who the woman was on your shirt. I don't know.
She's a famous movie star in Mexico. I don't know who it is myself.
Okay.
Lola Montez. I don't know. But yeah, Winton Churchill sent me these. Thank you, Winton.
Winton Churchill.
And at some point, I'll do that thing that you do where you pull the shirt over your head to look at the label. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to do it on the radio. That would be embarrassing. Because I'll tell you who made it. Because you can get them online. These are really great. I love them.
They're cool shirts.
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of them. Thank you, Winton. So, I think you've been gathering phone calls.
I have.
I may be mistaken, but it looks like you have.
We got a few.
Okay.
So Kevin's mom made a mistake on the internet.
Oh, no.
And
that's not the kind of mistake you want to make, is it?
Yeah, so he wants to know if he's done the right thing to wipe her computer.
I made a mistake on the internet. I love it. Well, let's say hi to him. Hey, Kevin, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am very well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. The mistake she made had nothing to do with new photos.
No, well, you're your mom. I would hope not.
Yes, she's not like that. she did go to a website that gave her a virus alert saying her computer was infected and to call a number, which she did.
Oh, see, because the virus alert isn't in and of itself prove anything. It's just a website trying to get you to call them, but she fell for it.
Yes, she did. She called. They had her install Citrix or something else, and that gave them control over her computer.
Yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll say, well, we can fix it. You just have to install this software so we can get into it, and then we will fix your computer. I'm sorry.
I don't know if they laugh like that.
We will fix your computer. So,
one on the hook.
How is your computer today? So, so there's a couple of things that happen. There are a couple of scams that can happen there. The least offensive is they charge you money for that, and they take your money. Now, at that point, they have your credit card, so that could get worse. And if they've remote accessed your computer, they could have put malware on there, and then that's the worst possible scenario, because then they can they can spy on you, they can capture other credit card numbers, passwords, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. She luckily gave me a call within a half hour of this happened. She said, I made a mistake.
She realized. That's interesting.
Exactly. Because I've talked to her about this before. And
she thought about it, right? She said, oh, wait a minute. That's what.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Kevin was telling me about. It happened.
So I told her to turn off the computer immediately.
Good.
Connect to Wi-Fi.
Good advice.
Call her. She only has one banking account that's tied to that computer. So I told her to call the bank, explain the situation, and they changed her password.
Oh, yeah. They'll do that. They don't want to take – they don't want any losses. Yep.
I accessed her email account and changed that password because that's the one that is tied into almost every other website that she has an account for.
That's the problem, and a lot of people do that. It's too much to remember a password for every single locale, so they use one password or a variation on one password over and over again, and that means – they didn't just get her bank password. They got her password to everything. And, of course, the bad guys know that, so they're going to go everywhere and try a password everywhere.
So I was hoping by changing her email password at least the bad guys wouldn't be sending "I forgot my password" notifications and getting all that.
Yeah. The worst thing you can lose, I guess the bank account would be pretty bad, but usually people have second factor authentication and the bank has safeguards on it and so forth. But the worst thing you could lose is your email, because in most cases, if you forget a password, you say, "Oh, well, send me an email." And if somebody has access to your email, you may not even know they have access, right? They don't have to change your password. They just log in whenever they feel like it, and they get those notices, and now they can reset your password. So you did the right thing. You changed that password. That's good.
Okay. I've got a couple other questions. What I did with her laptop, it's old, from 2007. It's a MacBook. And the latest software OS that she can install is...
You're fine. If she's on a Mac, I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. So what I ended up doing was I used this utility to erase the hard drive. I didn't overwrite with ones and zeros. Should I have done
that? No. You're a good son, and it is Mother's Day tomorrow, so I think this all counts towards your Mother's Day points. But, so you're right to be – there's no sure way to, know that they didn't do any of these things. Chances are they didn't, but you're right to be proactive. But you don't need to clean the hard drive like that, because that's only if they get access to the physical access to the hard drive. You're fine there. So and because she's on a Mac, it's highly unlikely that they infected the computer. There's not much malware that works on a Mac, and even if they do, that Apple has really designed OS X fairly well to prevent that kind of thing. It is Snow Leopard, so that means, she doesn't have the benefit of Gatekeeper and some of the more advanced techniques in more recent operating systems. But that's okay. She's probably all right.
Okay. And the other question I had, my dad has an iMac that they both share the same Wi-Fi. I didn't think there was a way for... her laptop was infected or possibly compromised.
There is potentially, because this is called a worm, a virus that spreads over the network. That's why you turn on the firewall. Even though you have a firewall with your router connecting you to the outside world, you also have a firewall on your computer on Windows and OS X Macintoshes. I would turn on the firewall because that prevents intranet. Work infection from one computer to another inside the house. It's inside the house. Oh my goodness. But again, you're on a Mac, and the number of viruses and worms on the Mac can be counted on the fingers of one hand. Highly unlikely. In fact, it's amazing that they actually were able to get in. Because most of the time these guys are expecting Windows machines. In fact, usually those pop-ups say, "Oh, we see a problem on Windows." So she was being sad because she got snared, but I think she's probably all right. You're doing the right thing.
She was really upset. So to be cautious, I was going to just wipe my dad's computer after I back up some information. And the Airport Extreme that they use, is there any way that could be affected?
No. Your dad's computer is all right, too. I wouldn't worry about your dad's computer. Yeah. You're fine. You're being extra cautious. Good son. But I think you're good. I think what you've done is good. You wiped her computer. That is the farthest extreme you needed to go. Do check to make sure their firewalls are turned on both their systems. They are not by default on OS X, which is, I don't know why, but they should be, but they're not.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Hey, you're welcome.
Great advice, sir.
You got some Mother's Day points there. That was good.
Okay, well, she's an amazing mother.
Nice. Aw. Yeah, and I think she's probably got pretty scared, but tell her she's okay. She doesn't need to be. First of all, she's got a bright son who immediately, burned it to the ground. So you're good. And this is a good thing for Mother's Day. Don't just send flowers or a card or take your mom out to dinner. Fix her PC, too. That's a nice thing to do. Set her up with an iPad or a Chromebook. Do something nice for mom this Mother's Day weekend. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Oh, Scott Wilkinson coming up. I apologize. Scott Wilkinson told me last week he has a day off today. So no Scott Wilkinson today. But you know what? That's good news. That means I can take more calls. Continuing on, let's say hi to Russell in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Russell.
Hello. I need your help.
All right.
I'm looking for a computer. But it's not so much the computer itself that I need help configuring. It's trying to find a manufacturer who can provide that computer to me. A little bit of a backstory. A couple of years ago, I bought a computer and a printer from Hewlett Packard.
Yeah.
They sent it to me, and it arrived broken via FedEx. I sent it back, ordered a new one, and I just couldn't get it to work. It was the time when Windows 8 first came out. It just kept blue screening on me, and I couldn't use it. So I sent it back. Got a refund on it. About 3 weeks later, I get this letter in the mail stating that I am completely banned from buying any other HP product again.
That's a nice way to treat a customer. Holy cow.
Yeah, and
by the way, HP has split up, you know, and the PC division is separate. And I think the PC division has taken this as an opportunity to fix themselves. Because you know what? For years, I did not recommend buying an HP computer for problems like this, the junkware they loaded it up with. And I bought my first HP computer. I'm waiting for it right now because I feel like they have completely turned around the company. And I've been told this by other users and people like my Windows Weekly co-host Paul Thurrott, who's a Windows expert. The PCs from HP are much better than they were. But you're right. In that era, they were junk. Why did they ban you?
They claimed that they were unable to please me.
Yeah. You didn't like our computer, so we don't want to talk to you anymore. Holy cow.
And, yeah. Well, I actually did try again back in February of this year, and the ban is actually still in place.
Wow.
I cannot even so much as buy a ream of paper from them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, goodbye, HP. Were you really annoying or something?
I suppose so.
You must have really – you ticked off somebody. They won't let you buy a product from them.
No.
I've never heard of a company doing that.
Yeah, and
actually, I've heard of one company doing that. Tesla is the only other company in the world that would say, no, you can't have it. You can't have one. Well, good, fine. Buy HP. So you want a new company?
Yes. I did try Apple.
Some people, by the way, are saying, you're lucky you were banned. Saved you some heartache in the future. Apple's good, and they won't, to my knowledge, Apple does not ban people.
Well, I haven't been banned yet. However, I did have to return everything I bought because when I first got my computers, I started having trouble with Time Machine. For some reason, when I went to restore my Time Machine backups, they wouldn't restore. And we were figuring something was wrong with maybe the hard drive on the system. And that's where I found out, because I live within a certain distance from the Apple store, they wouldn't honor the warranty.
Wow.
Yeah. So I returned everything.
So what – actually, I don't have time for the whole story. What's the latest? Okay. What do you want me to do for you?
All right. I need help finding a PC manufacturer that I haven't thought of yet.
That you haven't fought with yet, more like. Dell, very good. Customer service used to be the best in the world. They've, as with all PC manufacturers, you know, PC sales have tumbled. And PC manufacturers really kind of dug their own grave by offering, remember, netbooks? Really cheap PCs. And that set up everybody's expectation that a good computer shouldn't cost more than a couple hundred bucks. Why would you charge more than that? Well, of course, you can't get a good computer for $200. But in order to get those prices down, companies like Dell and everybody else just cut out support. So the support you get for free is worse than nothing. So generally speaking, paid support is better, and Dell does offer higher quality paid support. And so if you need support, I never buy the support because I'm the tech guy. I shouldn't need it, right? But my experience has been that you have to buy support. Apple bundles that into the cost. That's why computers are more expensive from Apple. I would say Dell. Lenovo makes some very good computers. They have a checkered past as well, though. You may remember some of the consumer-grade Lenovo computers came bundled with spyware on them. And spyware that not only was, you know, spying on your use to provide you with ads, that's bad enough, but it was so poorly implemented that it also opened your computer up to hacking. It broke the security model. So Lenovo's in the penalty box as far as I'm concerned. They never did this with their high-end, you know, business models. And in general, that's my advice, by the way. HP, Lenovo, Dell, those are the big three PC makers. And on all three, don't get the consumer grade computers. Those are the ones where they're trying to get those people who bought $200 netbooks and say, I'll never pay more than $300 for a computer. They're trying to get them in the fold. And you know what? They're junk. They're just junk. You get what you pay for. Get the business class, the professional class computers from any of those three manufacturers. You're going to have much better results. Apple, that's all they make. So there's no cheap Apple, as you probably noticed. Who else? Lately, I've been liking Acer and Asus. Now, Acer companies are changing. The landscape is changing dramatically. Acer used to offer very cheap, junky computers that I would not recommend. They were, by the way, they were kind of the kings of the netbook for a while. Asus invented the netbook. Both of them, Taiwanese manufacturers who offered low-end, cheap computers and better-class business computers that were quite good. And I think Acer has decided that this was a mistake. They're going to go with all high-end. So the newer Acer stuff looks pretty good. I would look at it. Acer. Asus, similarly. But don't expect to get a good computer, in my opinion, for less than $800. Maybe you shop around six or seven. But it's still a huge cut from what computers used to cost. The laptop or desktop, we always used to say the one you want is $2,500. $2,500. That has dropped. I would say you should be able to get a good professional class machine for $1,200, $1,300. That should be your budget. Like I said, I wouldn't buy anything less than $800 at this point. And the difference will be how you configure it, what processors you put in and so forth. But again, as I have said several times in the last few months, and I want to really reiterate this, most people should not be buying Windows or Mac computers. They should be either buying tablets or Chromebooks. And by the way, they're now mid-range Chromebooks in the $500 range that are excellent, all aluminum bodies. HP's just started one. Dell offers them, and Acer offers them. Acer, Dell, and HP all have some really nice Chromebooks. And for most people, unless you're editing videos, designing skyscrapers, doing stuff that really needs a general purpose computer, all the problems we hear about on this show, the security issues, the unreliability, all of these issues, software breaking, blue screens of death, just go away when you use Chrome OS. So I think for a lot of people, unless you're gaming or you really know what you need a general purpose computer, stick with the Chromebooks. Honestly, they're so much more reliable and they're less expensive and they're just secure as heck. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. More of your calls coming up in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. James on the line from Los Angeles. You're next. Hi, James.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling.
So, thank you. So, I got this hand-me-down HP 1200 PSC printer, and I got some production out of it. The problem is that lately when I've been trying to print, it just says out of paper. Like, I turn it on in anticipation of your show here, and lights, blinking, check paper. I have the paper in as far as it'll go. And when I go to print, it says out of paper and nothing happens. I was able to print out of it before. I tried going to Staples. I thought they had a Geek Squad there. And the guy said, well, we don't work on printers, but it could be. There's a sensor is blocked or something or whatever. So I'm calling Leo Laporte.
Why? I couldn't help you on this one either. I mean, I'd say the same thing. Who knows? It's a hand-me-down, right? So who knows what kind of state it's in.
I was able to print out of it before.
It did work for a while.
Yeah, and then...
I don't know. I can't really... I wish I could help you. There's no... I can't reach through the radio and... But I would guess that it somehow knows there's paper from some sort of sensor, either mechanical or light. So you want to kind of look in that paper feed tray and see if there's a little lever or switch. If it got broken off, then you'd have a problem that would think there's always no paper. I don't off the top of my head, no, I'm sorry. Brian in Lakeview Terrace, California. Hey, Brian. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey, Leo. I think.
Okay.
Remember in the old days when you wanted to make a phone call, you went to the bedroom phone, the kitchen phone. There's always one in the house to pick from, to choose from.
Not anymore, is there?
No. And if you misplace your cell phone, you're like, where is it? I can't find it. Well, and the funny thing is, we have three or four phones that are perfectly good just sitting in a drawer somewhere. Is it not possible to have our cell phone work, some of our old phones, so we don't, if we lose that one phone temporarily, we can still make phone calls? Just go away. Here's the other phone.
You need some sort of doohickey, a Bluetooth doohickey that would let you, that would pair to the phone, and then your old phone, corded phone, because it has, you know, one of those RJ45 jacks or RJ11 jacks, and you want to plug that into the back of the doohickey that I just invented, and then the phone would say, oh, I'm on a regular phone line, except it's Bluetooth. I know there are companies that make these kinds of devices for VoIP, for like you can have Skype, for instance. You can use a regular phone with a Skype device that plugs into the wall, but that's because these VoIP solutions give you dial tone and the phone would kind of work. I don't know how it would work with Bluetooth, because it would somehow have to, well, first of all, the disadvantage is Bluetooth is only within about 30 feet. So as soon as you leave the room, you got to say, of course, you're in the room. Oh, but you can't find your phone because it's in a cushion in the living room under the sofa. So now we have to figure out how, it can't be Bluetooth. So that's not going to work.
Oh, man.
There are definitely, you could definitely get this working again using a VoIP solution. That is, using your internet connection instead of a telco connection. You're not alone. This is something scaring the phone company. But people are just not buying landlines anymore. Why bother? You have a phone with you most of the time, unless you've lost it, in your pocket. You don't need a landline anymore. And then the other choice for a lot of people is getting using their internet connection, using Skype or some other solution like that. I don't know. Let me look. Okay, here we go. Panasonic has a link to sell that will join the cell phone to cordless phones. But see, you need to buy a new phone. You have old phones that you want to keep using.
Mm-hmm.
What you need is that base station, but it only works with Panasonic handsets. You'd have to buy all new phones. So, and basically what that turns your cordless phone into is a Bluetooth headset. So it's not going to solve the problem unless you're, within 30 feet
of your
phone.
I don't mean using the old landlines. I mean,
no, I know
using
what you mean.
Having more than one.
No, I understand what you mean. I understand what you're saying, yeah. And as I said, the Panasonic, you can buy these Panasonic cordless phones that will pair to your cell phone. And then you could pick up the phone and either use the landline. In this case, you don't have one, so you're not going to use the landline. Or use your cell phone. But there's a negative to this. A, you got to buy all new phones because you have to buy these Panasonic cordless phones. And B, you have the phone base station has to be within 30 foot of your cell phone. And that's the premise of your problem is I don't know where my cell phone is.
Right.
And that's going to be really the problem is the only way to connect the phone to the cell phone to do this is Bluetooth. And Bluetooth has limited range. I think the best solution is to find your cell phone. Panasonic does. Okay, if you were willing to buy all new phones, and by the way, I like the Panasonic cordless phones, and you particularly want to use the ones with DECT, D-E-C-T. That's a better cordless solution that uses, I think uses 900 megahertz, uses a low frequency, so it gets through walls. And you can buy other base stations, so you could scatter. This is an expensive solution to this problem. Scatter. It would be better to find your phone, really. Scatter the base stations around the house, then they have a better chance of being within reach of a phone. I think in all, while I like your idea, I understand where you're going with this. I don't know if there's a good solution to this. I understand what he's saying is, hey, I have a phone line, but it's tied to this cell phone. Trying to think of how else you could do this. You could get a femto cell from your local cell carrier. That's not gonna help. I think find your phone. there are good solutions to finding your phone. Maybe that's the best thing. Vaughn Burbank, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Vaughn. Hello, Vaughn.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, welcome.
Hi, Leo. First of all, I want to just say for all the mothers, happy Mother's Day tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you, and really thank you. Big favor to talk to you and to get on your radio station. I have two questions. First of all, regarding iPhone 4S. So now I know recently the iPhone had problem upgrading from version 7 to version 8 firmware.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people lost their options like Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. And then I know recently iPhone came up with the software 9. Yeah. Firmware version, which fixes a lot of bugs. And how would be recommended that ninth version for iPhone 4S?
Yeah, it's always, you know, first of all, Apple, in their infinite wisdom, only offers you the upgrade if they think it's going to be all right. The problem is that's a pretty old phone. They do think it's all right. They're going to let you do it. But there are some issues. First of all, you may have a phone that's too small to upgrade. A lot of iPhone 4Ss were only 8 gigabytes of storage. If your phone is almost full, it's going to be tough to back up. It may slow some things down. I'm going to put a link to an article at Gizmodo.com about upgrading the 4S to 9. It'll tell you about what the potential problems are. I would do it, but you should know what you're getting into. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches and all that jazz. Self-driving cars, too. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the number, 888-827-5536. Toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. We were talking during the break. Some nice visitors here from, I have it here on my card, Northridge. David and Maggie visiting the studio today, along with Pat and Eric, who are regulars from Fremont. And David says, I want a self-driving car. And Maggie says, under no circumstances am I going to let the car drive. And I think it's an interesting question. There's certainly a lot of pressure from not only the companies making self-driving vehicles, Google chiefly, but Tesla also. But also, I think, from insurance companies that would really, you know, love to cut their premiums, and public safety groups that would, you know, are realizing how many people are getting badly hurt or killed even in accidents by not paying attention. And we live in a society now where it's harder and harder for young people to pay attention, let alone us old folks. I was at a movie the other day, and there was not one, not two, but three ads saying, put away your cell phone during the movie. Please, please, we beg of you. The last one was a Coke ad that said, you came to watch this movie on a giant screen and enjoy Coke and popcorn. Well, maybe not the Coke and popcorn. Anyway, but you came to watch this movie on a big screen. Why are you looking at your little screen? Stop it. Knock it off. And I think that this has become a bigger problem. I would guess that it's really the case that, well, you can't walk down the street without... Look at New York City. I just was looking at a video. It kind of made me laugh. It's on YouTube. Old-timey pictures of New York in the 1970s. Made me feel old. Old-timey, huh? Oh, yeah. It looked exactly like New York in the 1990s or the 2000s, but there was one difference. Nobody was staring at their phone. They were walking around. They weren't looking at each other either. They were looking straight ahead like, no, I'm not going to make eye contact with you. But they weren't looking at their phone. And now if you walk down the street in any major city, they're all looking at their phones. I remember this hit me for the very first time about 7 or 8 years ago. It hadn't happened yet in the U.S., but I was in Paris. I was sitting out front of Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, sitting in an area where there were a lot of pedestrians walking around, a lot of Parisians, and they were all looking at their phones. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I've never seen anybody do that. Well, now we're all doing it worldwide. And I think that's one of the reasons there's pressure for self-driving cars. It's not that they'll be so much better. It's that we're getting so much worse at driving. And we are getting used to the idea. I mean, certainly autopilot and airplane, we all are kind of accept that idea. Of course, the pilot, a highly trained professional, is sitting right there playing Angry Birds. So you know you're in good hands. Should anything, I say that in jest. We have many pilots who listen to the show and listen to the podcast too, because apparently when you're flying up there, there's nothing else to do because the plane's flying itself. You're just sitting there. So they listen to a lot of podcasts, but they are there, and that's the point. And they are very trained, and they are ready to handle any emergency. There's actually an interesting debate among aircraft manufacturers and airlines and pilots' associations about who is better to control the plane. The Airbus manufacturers override the pilots routinely in cases of stalls and things like that. They trust the electronics. And it's very difficult for a pilot to override the plane in a case like that. Boeing really is the opposite. They say, oh, no. A human should always be in charge of this. And so there's even a debate in, I know we have a lot of pilots listening. Call me if I'm wrong on this. But I've been told that the Airbuses are very much more self-flying than the Boeing planes. And it's really a philosophic difference about who would be best to control the plane in a catastrophe. If you're in a stall or the plane is flipped upside down and is doing an Immelmann roll, and who would be best? Would the computer be better at that? Not confused by, you know, the artificial horizon or what it sees out the window, but just looking at the numbers. Or would a pilot be best at that? 8888, ask Leo. I'd love to hear from a pilot about this. I mean, pilots have the most experience with autonomous systems and self-flying planes. But I think we're all going to get, to some degree, self-driving cars. We have cars already with lots of safety features. My car yells at me if I try to change lanes. My car goes crazy. It gets very upset. If there's somebody else in the lane, as it should be, lights blink. The wheel starts to shake. The seatbelts start to tighten up like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, I'm going to – you're in trouble. The brakes start to – it gets excited. And if I should accidentally, you know, if I get too close to a vehicle in front, the red light will come on in the dash and it'll start jamming on the brakes and sirens will go off. Yeah. Well, it's probably right, you know. Wake up, Leo. You're going to hit something. That's the first step, isn't it? A lot of cars now have things like Bliss. That's something Volvo developed. It's in many Ford vehicles, the side sensors on the side, blind spot detectors, things like that. 8888, ask Leo the number. Let's talk about that if you want to. Tommy in Tustin, though, he's our next caller. And Tommy wants to talk about phones you can take in the water. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, happy Saturday, Leo.
Happy Saturday to you.
Yeah, I'm a surfer and I go out in the water, and I was thinking of doing the GoPro thing, but I haven't. Now I understand that they're going to start making a phone that you can actually take out into the water. Is that true?
They do make waterproof phones. What you need to look at is the how much waterproofing they have. And there's a way that these are rated. And the ratings will tell you about, you know, what you can do with the phone. The GoPro has a housing, as you probably know, that seals the GoPro. And that's why you see so many GoPro videos of surfers, because you can wear it on your head or your board, and it's sealed in a housing.
Right.
But phones, well, first of all, you'd have to mount it, right? You don't want to hold it while, or do you?
I would probably have a mount on my wetsuit where I could mount it and then take it off and take pictures of other surfers when I wanted to.
Right. So there are water-resistant phones. Even some of the big names like the Samsung Galaxy S7 is water-resistant. And you have to check what that means. Typically, in this case, the S7, it has an IP rating of 68. You see IP68 on the box. And, okay. And what that means, as I remember, is it can spend as much as 30 minutes under 1 meter of water. In other words, if the pressure's too great, it'll start to leak around the seals. And right. After a period of time, it will. But that means that's called water resistant, not waterproof. But that means it's probably splash proof for sure. You're not gonna shoot underwater. If you're surfing, you're probably trying to stay above the water most of the time.
Well, it gets pretty intense when you get hammered by a wave, and the pressure is probably too strong for a wave or for a phone that's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, only 1 meter. That's 3 feet.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm looking at it now. IP68 is 1.5 meters. So those are, but they don't call them waterproof, and that's exactly why. Because after a while, plus salt water is much more corrosive. So that would be the other concern, is not that the phone would stop working, but that the parts of it would get corroded. Now, the S7 is mostly glass, but there is some, there's a metal edge that might well corrode. So,
do you think in time they will come out with phones that are waterproof?
Well, they Galaxy also makes these active phones that are designed to be more waterproof. More now, the S6 active isn't out yet, but let me see what the by the way, rumored to be out soon. Let me see what the IP rating is on the S6 active, because I would guess now they still say water resistant. Gosh darn it, I'm not sure what. Maybe somebody listening will know. What phone would you take? I mean, the GoPro's the gold standard, isn't it? But what phone would you take to shoot video while you're surfing? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The S6. Yeah, it's also IP68. So the active is no more, the S6 active is no more water resistant than the S7 is. Yeah, that's disappointing. Our podcast today brought to you by Texture. I love magazines. Who doesn't love magazines? I don't love the clutter. Really had to stop buying magazines. Also, it adds up, you know. Those are expensive on the newsstand. And usually, you know, there's one article I want to read pretty much every month in Vanity Fair, New Yorker, Rolling Stone. You know, there's just one article. I don't want to buy the magazine or subscribe to the magazine just for that one article. Texture to the rescue. Texture is like Netflix for magazines. It lets you subscribe for one low monthly rate to dozens of the best magazines. All the ones I just mentioned. Also National Geographic and Wired and Popular Electronics and on and on and on. Go to texture.com, texture.com/techguy, and start your free trial. With Texture, you get all the magazines you want. One super convenient price is less than buying four magazines every month. And they've got it all. Men's health, interview. And yeah, you know what I like about it? I can read People and Us too. I know. Sports Illustrated. It's all in there. Plus, the Texture editors will curate in their top stories in the new and noteworthy sections articles for magazines you maybe you don't read on a regular basis. For your iPad, for your Android device, for your phone. It's nice to always have a magazine to read. You favorite the magazines you want the most, they'll download as soon as the new issue comes out. Yes, you get every page of the newsstand, plus previous issues and bonus features you can't do in print, like video. I love Texture. You're going to like it, too. That's why I want you to try it for free at Texture, T-E-X-T-U-R-E, like text, right? Texture.com/tech guy. Free trial awaits you. Get insider access to all the content from the world's most popular magazines. And by the way, you can even share your subscription with your family. Actually, I don't have the Texture subscription. Lisa does. My wife does. And she shares it with me. And it's great. When you're going to get on a plane, you get all those magazines. Don't go. I used to stop and I'd get an armful of magazines, leave them on the plane. It's such a waste. I've always felt bad about that. Now I don't have to worry. Save a tree, but still read all the great stuff you want to at texture.com/tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. John in San Diego's next. Hey, John.
Hi, Leo. I'll get right to the point. I'm trying to buy a new 10-inch tablet, and I brought home a few, but I keep running into the same problem.
Uh-oh, what's the matter?
Okay. Well, the problem is random, and that suggests to me that it would be a hardware as opposed to a software problem, but I'll let you be the judge of that. And exactly what happens is that for just a split second, when it occurs, the screen flashes nothing but vertical lines against a white background. And I've seen this happen on a total of three of the 10-inch tablets that I brought home. They're all Lollipop 5.1. Two of them have been Acer Iconia 10s, and then the other one was kind of a generic.
That's odd.
Do you think it's hardware, or do you think it would be, could it be?
Well, so? You always put the same applications on, so it could be an application specific. I've never seen this, by the way, and I've used a number of Android tablets. I'm using a Nexus 7's in front of me right now. I've used a Pixel O and a Pixel C. I've never seen this. So it's how long does it show these lines for? Is it really brief, or is it on for a second or two?
Extremely brief. Like I say, a split fraction of a second. But it happens, like I say, randomly, but it definitely has happened many times. Hmm. And I've tried.
You know, maybe I'm seeing it, I'm just not noticing it, or just kind of accepting it as being normal behavior. What is it that you do to trigger it?
Well, I don't necessarily do anything. I do tend to see it mainly in the email program that I use, but I think that's because I'm mainly looking at my email program, which, by the way, is Blue Mail. I don't know if that...
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if it's related to Blue Mail.
Well, I've used Blue Mail for a long time on Android 4.2 and also 4.4, and I've never seen this. And the strange thing is that I see it on two different tablets now that are there are the Acer, same model, which you might say, well, maybe there's a compatibility issue. But I have seen it once, and I didn't mention this to Kim, but I have seen it once on a generic brand model that I had brought home and tried. So
what it sounds like is that the tablet is adjusting the video mode for something, for some reason. Okay. That's what you would see if you were switching from one mode in a video card to another. You'd see a brief period of time where, and it'd be fairly brief, where the screen is garbage because it hasn't resolved itself yet.
Well, I'll tell you, I do see it when I'm just staring at an email that I'm in the middle of.
Without you doing anything, it just happens? It flickers that way?
Exactly. It's like I say, it's random. I wish I could trigger it somehow, but I can't.
Yeah. Is there some, I wonder if there's some setting that you, do you turn on any of the accessibility settings or turn the font sizes up or anything like that?
You know, font size, I think I have defaulted at large, and that's system-wide. So I can look into that.
Yeah, I do that too. I don't think that's it, but I'm wondering if there's another setting that, in other words, if this happened to everybody, I think this would be a problem that we would know about. So I'm wondering what it is, if there is something that you're doing, some setting you're using, some software that you're using that's causing that issue.
Right. Well, I would kind of hope that it would, because I'm kind of attached to the Acer tablet. It's got a lot of the features that I like and is the right price point as well. So.
Yeah. I mean, those are good tablets. We'll have to just open this up to the audience. Maybe they will have a solution.
One thing I've thought of, but it's a last resort, and that is to just go ahead and initialize it and pretty much do nothing except the bare minimum.
Well, that would eliminate whatever. Yeah, that exactly. You know, that if you really, this is the hardcore thing, but if you really wanted to figure this out, yes, don't configure it in any way. Just take it as it came out of the factory, and you wouldn't have to use it long. It sounds like this happens pretty frequently, to have some idea of you know, whether something you're installing or some setting you're turning on is causing this. Do you use the standard launcher? Do you have a launcher that you use instead?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Then that means you use the standard launcher.
I don't have a custom mod, if that's what you mean.
Well, I use, for instance, Nova Launcher instead of the default launcher that comes with the Google Android.
Yeah.
Nothing exotic.
Huh? Yeah. Hey, also, can I ask you about this 1995 orange Mercedes I've got?
You heard that, huh?
Inside joke.
Our chat room. So I got to explain this. This was a joke about one of our previous callers from the chat room, and I repeated off the air. But you were on hold, so you heard it. The chat room is great. These are the kids. If you remember high school, there was always a group of kids that sat in the back of the class. And they would, under their breath, but so everybody in the class, but not the teacher, could hear it, make snarky comments. You know, they were the trouble, but they were always the smartest kids, too. So that's who we have in our chat room. So probably repeat their snarky comments, but every once in a while the teacher hears it. Yeah, it's very clever. That's why I repeated it. It's funny.
Okay. Well,
hey, keep listening. I'll keep an eye on the chat room. Maybe they'll have a suggestion. Since you tried it with three different ones, even one that's not the same brand, it sounds like the thing that's in common is you. So I would guess it's something you're doing, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call. I apologize for not being more helpful. By the way, our previous caller, the surfer who wanted a waterproof phone, we haven't been able to find a phone that really is any better than IP68. The 6 means dustproof. The 8 means that 1.5 meters for 30 minutes. Some phones can do, there is one, actually I shouldn't say that. There is one phone. No, it's a case, isn't it? The iGills case. It's for divers for an iPhone. iGills. Get it? That is for 130 feet. So that's for serious divers. It has big old metal buttons on the front so you can use it with your diving gloves, etc. I'm not sure you'd really want to wear that, and it's expensive. It's $300-some bucks. Not sure you'd want to carry that around all the time. You know, the GoPro is the gold standard in this regard because they have a great waterproof housing that's fairly compact, and it gets great images. And I think that's probably why people continue to use the GoPro. At $300 for that case, you might as well buy a GoPro for that price. Why are we getting the flash, the intermittent flashing? I could see if you were switching from one app to another, or you were, you know, doing something that would trigger a switching of the video mode. But I'm not sure. If you're just sitting there and it just flashes, that doesn't sound good. You know, that sounds like a hardware problem, to be honest with you. But it was on 3 different devices, not sure. Well, if you know, 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536 is the phone number. And if you want to be in the snarky, sit with the back of the class, kids, you could do that too. That's our chat room, and it's a great place. IRC, see, I'm one of those kids, that's why. IRC.twit.tv. I got promoted to teacher, but believe me, it was a mistake. IRC.twit.tv. And, of course, our website with everything, including the phone number, the link to the chat, answers to questions, and room for comments so you can, after the fact, if you're listening to the podcast or hearing a rerun, you can go to the website and say, hey, John, I know what's going on, and put that in the comments. TechGuyLabs.com. I've been everywhere, man. Well, he literally is somewhere. Johnny Jett. It is May Day, sort of. It's Kentucky Derby weekend, and Johnny's in Louisville at the Derby. Hey, Johnny Jett.
How you doing, Leo?
Say hi to Nathan Staten, our musical director. He's also at the Kentucky Derby today.
Awesome. Well, I'm actually the race number 9 is about to go off in 1 minute.
So it's going to get very noisy in a minute, right? Where are you? I mean, are you on the where are you in the place?
I'm about 100 yards short of the finish line.
Oh, wow.
But I'm on the inside of the track in one of the suites that I'm here with Talc Tours, TAU.
Oh, yeah, you were doing it with Talc. I saw it because you and your dad had dinner with a famous jockey.
Chris McCarron,
wow.
And I actually just ran into him just now. He was walking by. I'm like, hey, totally remember me.
I'm going on a Talc River Cruise next year, but Talc does land tours too, and they do a Kentucky Derby, huh?
They do. They don't mess around. I mean, this is pretty much as high as you can get besides Millionaire's Row, where all the celebrities are.
Fun.
But this is not cheap. You can go to the Kentucky Derby for cheap. You can go for like, I think it's like $60 to go get a pass to the infield, but this will cost you thousands of dollars, but they do it right.
Are you wearing a fancy hat or, you know, like a cummerbund? I mean, did you get all dressed up?
Everyone's dressed up, so yeah, we're all dressed up. My dad's wearing his horse racing shirt.
Your dad loves the ponies, and so this must be such a treat for. Has he ever been to the Derby before?
We've actually been a couple times, but it's been over a dozen years, and he never thought he'd get back. And they invited me to come out. I was like, yes, I flew home from France early, and now I'm here.
Johnny, you're such a good son, my golly. Well,
I try to be.
So but, you're still, and you're also, by the way, a great host because here he is at the Kentucky Derby, and he's still calling in for his gig, man.
You know, you got to do what you got to do, and I love it. So.
Well, we love you. Thank you, Johnny. So tell us, you usually have a website and an app. What do you want to start with?
I got an app called Filled, FILLD.
Okay.
Have you heard of this one?
No.
So this one's actually from, South Bay of San Francisco. It's
all the best apps are.
Yeah. They will bring the gas to you.
If you run out of gas, they'll bring the gas to you.
No, not even if you run out of gas. If you just don't like going to get gas or don't have time to get gas or you're a germaphobe.
What?
Because supposedly
it's a it's a gas station that comes to you?
Exactly. And the prices are the same as at the gas pump. Except they charge a $5 service fee.
That's what? That's amazing.
Well, that's because you know they have very low overhead. They don't have to pay for a big
It's like Uber station. For a gas jockey.
Exactly
gas
what
monkey.
It is. On the map, you point in what point where you are, and they will come get you. You do the or not come get you. They'll just you just open up the tap, and they will fill up your gas with either unlimited or premium. And it's the same prices around the neighborhood. It's $5 more.
Wow.
And you just have to choose a delivery window, what time you want to do it. But right now, they're only in the South Bay of San Francisco. But they,
oh, man, you're such a tease. You can only get them in Silicon Valley, of course.
Well, there are a couple other ones. One does in L.A., but they are going to expand because they just got millions of dollars.
Oh, I bet they did. I bet they did. Yeah, I mean, this is actually a great idea.
I love it because I know so many people, including my wife, who does not like to go to the gas station.
Yeah.
And
no, my wife won't. She says that's my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey, for $5.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it for a lot of people.
Put me out of a job. Filled, F-I-L-L-D, Android or iOS. And if you go to FILLD.com, you can get a link to the app. Great app. Thank you.
It really is. And then I got
next thing I want is I want my car to call them when it's running low and say, meet me. That's the next step.
I will not be surprised if that happens in the very near future.
That's what they're preparing for, sure.
For sure. So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about an app that I just quickly mentioned, but it's called Expert Flyer. And so Expert Flyer, they have a paid service, which is a lot of money, and you don't want to do it unless you're a big time traveler. But if you're not a big time traveler, they have a free service where you can choose, you know, everyone's trying to get the good seats on a plane.
Yes.
And all the airlines are always trying to get you to upsell and pay more. These guys will let you go into the plane, into the app or into the website and choose whatever seat you want. So if you want an exit row aisle or window, or if you want a aisle or any window, it can alert you.
Oh, so you get an alert that your seat is available. Go buy it.
So let's say you buy a ticket and there's nothing but middle seats available for free and you don't want to pay for the upgrade, or actually, even if you do want to pay, but they're all full, all the good seats, like aisles and windows. You just go into this app and you say, alert me for the flight you're on, and it will let you know if a window or aisle opened up, and then you just go right into it and jump on it, because sometimes they don't last long.
And that's a free service from expertflyer.com. They also have a pro version. Is it worth getting the pro? Do you use the pro?
I do, but again, I'm not like everybody else, and that's $4.99 a month or $99 a year. So I don't recommend that unless you're traveling big time. But with the free version, by the way, the race is just about to end. You're going to hear everyone screaming.
Uh-oh, here they come. It's good. It's like we're there. And he's coming around the turn. I've got my money on Whirl Away, Johnny. Who do you have your money on? Which horse do you think is going to win?
Well, I just ran into Chris McCarron, and he said he likes Creator, so I think I'll put my money on Creator. But he also said Nyquist is going to be tough to beat.
What fun. I'm so jealous. I've always wanted to go have a mint julep and a piece of Derby pie for me.
Don't you worry.
Johnny Jett at the Kentucky Derby, but what a dedicated host he is. That's why we call you a regular, Johnny. I really appreciate it. Johnny always tweets at Johnny Jett. He tweets his links before the show, so you can always get a link there. We'll also put it on our webpage at techguylabs.com. And I guess this would be a pretty good time to be following Johnny on Instagram and on his website, because I bet you there'll be some great pictures from the Derby. Thanks, Johnny. Have a great time, and give my regards to your dad. I bet he's in heaven right now.
He sure is. Thank you. Have a great day.
What a good son, huh? Isn't that great? Thanks, Johnny. See you later. Johnny Jett at the Kentucky Derby. What fun, huh? Man, he knows. Every time I talk to him, I'm so jealous. He does everything. Gets to do all the fun stuff. Gets to all the fun stuff. 88 88 88. Ask Leo. Somebody in the chat room is saying, is Filled only available in parts of California? Yeah, why, guys? San Francisco and Silicon Valley, and that's it. But as with a lot of this stuff, Johnny's talked about these services. They start slow. They always roll out locally. So the Lux service, that's the valet parking service, the Silver Car, that's the Audi Silver A4 car rentals. All of these start in one or two airports or one or two cities and then roll out large. And we've seen that every time, and I have a feeling Field will. That's a really interesting idea. Can they make money at $5 service charge? That's all they charge, $5. I guess if it's a small area and they keep busy, right? Man. Would you use it? Yeah, I would. You should use it. Yes. My wife should use it. 8888-ASK, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Somebody in the chat room is saying RF interference on the tablet. Maybe that's what he's seeing is a big radio signal. Maybe if you live near a radio tower or you had something like a microwave that wasn't well shielded in your house, that could cause those blips. That's true. That's true. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 ask Leo. I had a college roommate who played the bagpipes. Not fun. 80. Yeah, it's a good way to wake up. That's well, you're awake. I don't know if it's a good way to wake up, but it will wake you. Clyde in Torrance, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Clyde.
Yeah, having a problem trying to make Photoshop Elements 10 work with Windows 10. Has that been a pro? Have you talked about that before?
That sounds vaguely familiar, although, you know, these folks at Adobe have a very big investment in Photoshop Elements. Is 10 the latest version?
No, 14, and we've...
Ah.
It's very hard. We have to relearn everything we know.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And we've been with Photoshop Elements for 10 years, and we're getting tired of going back to class and all that. I thought about virtualization, but I'm looking at like Windows Vista legal copy, and they're running $100 or so.
Yeah. So did you have you tried to install it?
Yeah, and I've tried.
And you got an error message?
I can get into the edit, but I can get into the organizer, but I can't get into the edit.
Yeah.
And it works on Windows 7 Pro, but that's not the machine we want to run it on. We want to run it on a machine that has went from 8.1 to 10. And anyway, are there any
Adobe says it's not compatible, but I'm also looking at a discussion thread on Adobe's website. Mm-hmm. That says you can get it working with a few minor issues.
Oh, okay.
That's so you might be willing to pay, put up with the minor issues. I will
try that.
Yeah. I will put a link in the show notes to this discussion. Adobe says you have to have Elements 13 or later for compatibility.
Oh, well.
But you don't want to upgrade. I don't blame you.
Yeah, well, money isn't the problem.
No, it's hard to use. I understand. It's a different...
Yeah. Well, we were seniors when we started this 10 years ago. Go figure. We're tired of this.
Hey, I love it that you're still doing it. But, you know, that's the problem, of course, is that the upgrade cycle now for hardware and software has gotten so short, so quick, that it's gotten to the point now. I was just reading an article where phone manufacturers expect you now to upgrade your smartphone every other year, period.
Oh, yeah.
Period. And they don't bother supporting phones that are more than a couple of years old. That's an old phone, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. We've got iPhone 5Cs.
Yeah, I hate seeing that because this phone hardware is, you know, is not going to wear out for decades.
Right.
So they have to force this obsolescence, and I think that that's unfortunate.
Yeah, we like Windows 10 better than Windows 8.
Well, Windows 8 was a very misguided attempt to kind of mix a tablet interface with a desktop interface, and nobody liked Windows. Very few people liked Windows 8.
5 months to learn it.
Yeah.
5 months to learn an iPad. 3 weeks to learn iPad.
We really
have no learning problem with Windows 10.
Yeah, no, 10 is a very, I think 10 is a good upgrade, but this is exactly the kind of problem that, you know, if older software and hardware may have an issue.
Yeah.
So this, I'll put this link in the show notes. It's a, if you want to jot down the, it's a forums.adobe.com and it's thread 1919788. You don't have to write it down. I'll put it at techguylabs.com and you could click a link there. But essentially, it describes what the issues are and workarounds for many of these cases. So if you're willing to kind of dig into it a little bit, it sounds like you can get it working.
Yeah, well, we'll do try one more.
Yeah, it's a little disappointing. I mean, Adobe, even if you do get it working, Adobe says we don't support it. So if you should have problems with it, you're not going to be able to call Adobe, and they're going to say, well, of course it doesn't work. We told you it didn't work. You got to get the latest version. You know, I understand. I completely understand why companies don't want to support older versions. So I don't know, you know, I mean, I also completely sympathetic and understand why you don't want to have to learn a new version. I guess all I can say is digital technology is not like the real world where you learn how to use a hammer and it pretty much works that way forever. And maybe they come out with new modern hammers, but you're not required to upgrade. And the nails don't stop working. Oh, sorry, you got to have hammer 13. You still got hammer 10. What's wrong with you? That's how it should be, but the benefit of that is we get better and better and better stuff all the time. I mean, if you think about the phone that you have in your pocket, the computer you have on your desktop, it's a supercomputer compared to the computers of just 10 years ago. So that's how that happens, and people get left in the dirt as a result. So a couple of things, I guess, is one, I'll give you that link, and then the other is you might want to look at other solutions. Now, what's sad is there used to be a solution I recommended all the time, the free Picasa from Google, P-I-C-A-S-A. They discontinued it. And it's just oh. But it's one. Think of it this way. It's keeping you young, Clyde, right? Because what is one of the attributes of being a kid is that you adapt to change rapidly, right? Things are changing, and you're changing, and life's changing, but as we get older, we kind of get settled in our ways a little bit. And I understand that I'm settled in my ways, but maybe it's not such a bad thing to have to adapt a little bit. Keeps the brain agile. I'm trying to make lemonade out of a lemon here. I just don't know there is a way to do it. What other suggestions does he? Chat room have for photo editing software? I should ask Clyde what he uses it for. Photoshop Elements is just great. It's just great. There's paint.net. That's free. That works in Windows 10. Because it's free, you can keep it up to date. And I don't think they've changed the interface much over the years. Paint, paint.net. I used to recommend Picasa. I can't do that anymore. Why Google? Why Adobe? Why? Because they're trying to move into stay in the future, you know? They're trying to keep up. 8888, ask Leo if you've got a good suggestion. I'd love to hear it. Christine is in Albany, California. Hi, Christine. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. Hey. Before I get into my question, I wanted to say thank you for suggesting photo card. I sent a couple to my mother, she received it for Mother's Day, and she loves them. She said they're beautiful.
It's a labor of love now because the guy who created this, it's an iOS app, iPhone or iPad, is Bill Atkinson, who didn't single-handedly create the Mac, but he was one of the original Mac guys. He created Mac Paint. He later wrote HyperCard. He is really one of the sweetest guys who's given us so much, and his latest app, which he's put his heart and soul into for the last 7 years, is a card app called Photo Card that lets you take any picture that's on your phone or your tablet and make a physical card. And these are big cards. They're laminated and mail it. You can actually send an email as well, but you could also mail it, and they just look great. I sent my mom a photo card as well for Mother's Day, and I'm glad you gave it a try, because I do feel like these are really great, and I want it to succeed. I really want – Bill deserves at least the support, you know?
So. Yeah, I'll be sending more for sure.
Good.
So my question is, and I know you get these types of questions a lot, but my nephew is starting college.
Yay.
This year.
My nephew is too, and I gave him a MacBook.
Ah, well – Don't want to go the Apple route.
I'll tell you why. He's going to the Rhode Island School of Design, and he said he needed a Mac, so that was a no-brainer.
Oh, it is a no-brainer.
What's your nephew studying?
Yeah, so good question.
he doesn't know because he's a freshman. How would he know?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I used to be an Apple girl. I was a graphic designer. Now I'm in biotech. Well,
there you
so
go.
I use a Chromebook.
Love it.
I love them.
But
love
for a college kid, maybe he wants a full computer.
Exactly. So my mother and I were going to go in and have these and get a laptop when we wanted to. Now he likes, apparently he still is into Minecraft.
Any laptop will be great at Minecraft.
Okay, great. So we're looking at, we'd like to if we could spend $600 or so. I don't know. Can you recommend something in that range?
I have just ordered a new HP Spectre. And you heard us talking about HP and how bad they had gotten. But now I believe, and I'm convinced from other friends of mine, that they have turned this company around. And I think the Spectres, for they're Ultrabooks, so they're very thin and light, which a student will like. You can, you know, basically choose the price you want to pay and get the amount of power available for that price. Mine will arrive next week. I'll have a review on Saturday. But I'm thinking these look pretty nice. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. These are gorgeous, these photo cards. Yeah, they're so nice. Here's another one. So it's hard, you know, at that price point, you're really on the edge of...
I know.
If you could spend $200 more. Mm. So the HPs look nice. I think Dell offers some good value. Isn't it funny? The Chromebook is a great choice.
I know, but for students, right?
Because well, it depends. You know, if he's an English major or a history major, I think a Chromebook could be fine. But if he's going to do design or if he's going to do math and science, he might want you know, Mathematica.
And engineering or something like
that.
Yeah,
if he's engineering, then he probably needs a PC, I'm sorry to say. Yeah.
Thank you, Leo. I
love these Spectres, and they do have inexpensive ones as well as expensive ones.
Very good. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smart watches and all that jazz. My old friend is here, Kate Botello, who for so many years ago hosted the Screensavers with me on, it was ZD TV in those days, what was later going to be Tech TV. You know, it's 18 years since we launched that show in 1998, Kate. And I'm thinking the 18 years when we were started, I know, she feels really, I know, I'm just sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you. That's it's May 11th. I know, May 11th will be the 18th anniversary. But I was just thinking, because here we are, we're talking about computers still. And I guess we were talking a little bit about the internet in 1998. We weren't talking about smartphones, smart watches, GPS devices. We stopped talking. GPS devices have come and gone since then. We don't talk about them anymore. We used to. But now we're talking about virtual reality. Kate, did you go in and play with the... Yeah, you got to try the Oculus Rift we got. And now this week I got the HTC version of this virtual reality visor. It's called the Vive. And they did a deal with Steam. They paired up with Steam. So they have a lot of games, I guess. And although the game that a lot of people are excited about doesn't seem like a great game to me. It's called Office? Work. It's a virtual reality of your work. Job simulator. Now, this on the face of it doesn't really seem like a game that you'd want to play. I never could understand why anybody would want to play a driving game because I do enough driving. But apparently job simulator is great fun. You're in your cubicle. You have a Xerox machine. You can Xerox stuff. You can throw paper airplanes. You can bother your coworkers. And it's just like being there. Is this really what we want? Is this where we're headed? Why work when you could pretend to work in a game? Job Simulator. We have it, Kate, if you want to try it. We've come so far. But the game the machine we're playing that on is, I think, version 7 or 8 of the Ultimate Gaming Machine. We call it Uvergum now, not Uggum, because it's the Ultimate Virtual Reality Gaming Machine. And we've also come a long way with that. I was looking at there's video on YouTube of you and me showing off the first Ultimate Gaming Machine, which I think was a Pentium 90.
Mm-hmm. And it, you never need more than 100 megs.
Yeah. What? How much RAM was it? Not a lot. 128 megs or something. Megs, not gigs. Megs. And, we got a whopping gigabyte hard drive on here. We'll never run out of space, Kate. It's enough to play several versions of Unreal Tournament and Doom.
Wasn't it encased in actual wood?
That one was not made in wood, no. Was it in wood?
We had one
that was made out of wood, yeah. Yeah, the times have changed. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. And Bill is on the line from Glendora, California. If you have any questions at all about MS-DOS 5.0, we can help you. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Leo?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I built a new system with my PC. I'm an illustrator. I do graphic art and stuff. So I need a pretty strong system. So I got an all new, 6-core and all that. And I found my two standard hard drives are just disappearing. I bought a brand new one with like a terabyte and my older one, and they just keep disappearing. I have Carbonite, and it all of a sudden it stopped backing things up.
Does it disappears in what respect? Can you look at it, like it's not there anymore?
Yeah, it's not there. I'll go to my computer, my PC, and it's just not showing. I go to Disk Manager, it's not that. I reboot it, and then it says fixing disk. And then it'll take a little while to boot up, and then it's there. But then after like 10 minutes, it pops off.
Well, this is a fairly large category of problems that I really don't, because I'm not physically there, don't know what I could do to help you. It could be there's a lot of things. It could be hardware. It could be cabling. You should first go and see how it's set up in the. We call it BIOS still, even though it's not BIOS anymore. But in the setup, on this new machine, this Uvergum we built, the BIOS setup we got on ASUS motherboard has gotten so crazy complicated, and it's just gotten so junked up. It's hard to find anything in there. But the first thing to do, I would do, is make sure you see the drives. It could be a bad cable. It could be something wrong with AHCI, the hardware configuration. It could be a lot of things. It could be you don't have the drivers. You built it yourself, and this is the problem when you build it yourself. You can't call Dell.
Right.
Hey, Dell, why don't I see my hard drive? Although, to be honest, I don't know how much help Dell or anybody else is these days. They walk you through the same kind of dopey notebook procedure they do for everything, and ultimately you have to reinstall Windows and then they say, okay, well, I don't know.
Right. I didn't have any of the problem until I updated to Windows 10. So I was wondering.
Oh, that's nice. It probably is not related. Although, one thing you could try, roll back. If you get 30 days to roll it back. You could try rolling it back and see if it's still there. You were in Windows 8? 8.1?
7. Yeah.
So roll it back. See if it works okay in 7.
Right.
And if it does, then I think maybe there is a driver in Windows 10 that you don't have.
Okay. So maybe just because the solid states are working fine. It's the other two.
Well, that's another issue on this Uvergum we had. We were using M.2 solid state boot drive, and I had to jump through hoops to get it to see the spinning drives. We had two 3-terabyte spinning drives as well as this boot drive, which is an SSD. And they're different chains. Nowadays, motherboards, whose motherboard are you using?
ASUS.
Yeah.
It's the X99.
Yeah, that's what we have. Yeah, crazy. It's a great motherboard.
Yeah, it seemed like it was fine. It's just I think I had this exact same problem. I actually booted up because I was having a problem with the with a drive dropping off. So I thought maybe my motherboard's going bad or something. So I rebuilt a new system. But I remembered I went from Windows 10 on this as well. And I'm thinking, oh, no, maybe it's just some simple driver that the hard drives need to update to the 10 with or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I would go back to the BIOS settings and look at them and make sure everything is configured properly. And this is another one where I ended up Googling this weird issue we were having that with the M2 drive, it couldn't see the other drives. And then, it was just complicated. I had I found a solution. Oddly enough, the solution I found was on the Newegg, which sells these motherboards, Newegg website. In the comments, somebody said, oh, don't buy this motherboard. You can't use regular SATA drives with an M.2 drive. And in the response to the comment, an Asus tech said, oh, well, here's what you do. And it was a 10-step, completely insane voodoo process. And I followed it and worked. But why they don't publish this in big, bold letters somewhere? The only place I could find this was in the Newegg comment section as a response to a user's comment. That's how crazy it is. The PCGuy88 in our chat room found that for me. And if he hadn't, I would have said, oh, yeah, you can't use the solid-state drive with the spinning drive. They don't work together on this motherboard. Yeah, they do. They work fine if you go through this process. It involves rebooting the machine 3 times. I do believe there's a chicken involved that I'm not sure. I have dim memories of lighting candles and dancing naked. But it worked. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Where are my optical cables? Corning optical cables. You know, I got that new Drobo, and I just got my new Thunderbolt 3. I'm so excited, my Thunderbolt 3 drive. I got to tell you, I'm ready for whatever the future brings because I've got optical cables by Corning. So the original, I don't know if people know this, the original Thunderbolt spec was with fiber cables, fiber optic cabling. But Intel and Apple decided, oh, we're going to put it out with the copper cabling. You know, we're just going to live with it for the time being because we're just not ready. Well, it's ready now. And the nice thing is you can use optical cabling from the people who know glass better than anyone else, Corning, right now with your existing hardware. What's great about these Corning cables, see these the small little connector at either end that takes the electrical signals that are expecting copper, turns them into light, and then fires them down the fiber optic cable where it's turned back into electric signals. And they've got these transmitters so small now. And this cable, boy, this is not your father's fiber optic. You can bend it, you can twist it, you can step on it. I remember when we first got fiber optic cables, our engineer said, oh, these are great, they're so fast, but don't step on them, you'll break them, because they're glass. But nobody knows glass better than Corning. Corning's USB 3.0 and Thunderbolt cables are incredibly strong and flexible. And because they're fiber optic, they have cable runs that are a lot longer. Up to 60 meters, that's 200 feet for Thunderbolt, 50 meters or 165 feet for USB 3. This is great because you can put those noisy, hot drives and other devices under the desk, far away, where you can't hear them, but they still work less just great. They're also lighter. These cables are about 50% lighter. So you're not going to, and they're thinner. Oh my gosh, these are great. Bend, twist, and knot them, no problems. Oh, see, he's doing the demo on the video here. I'll let him do it. Corning Optical Cables. Go to opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more. You know, it's not just me. People like Universal Audio rely on optical cables by Corning to get perfect acoustic isolation in the studio. This is where they test new equipment like their Thunderbolt audio interfaces. They're not going to use any cheesy cables. They're going to use the best, and they use optical cables by Corning. So do I. Whether you're into high-end video, photography, audio production, or computing, optical cables by Corning allow you to build a convenient workspace through a superior long-distance connection. Incredibly strong, flexible, fast, and light. You got to love them. They're available at all major electronics and professional AV retailers. Apple stores have them. Amazon has them. B&H. And you can learn more at opticalcablesbycorning.com. We thank them so much for their support of the Tech Guy. Look, she's doing, I did this. I have this somewhere. Where's my key? I can do that too, you know. Optical Cables by Corning. Actually, you know what happened? I took them all home. I have the box. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't take them all home. Here's one. Okay, I'll take this one tonight. Ooh, I love these. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 88 Ask Leo. Ann is in South Orange County, ready to get some computer help. Hello, Ann.
Hello, Leo.
Welcome.
Thank you for answering my call.
Oh, well, I hope I can answer your question, too, but well, I haven't been doing so well today, so.
Well, I'll try to make it short. I have a Dell, 10-year-old Dell computer with the XP, which is fine because all I do is banking and emails. Right. I don't do very much on it.
So security doesn't matter at all.
Well, it doesn't. Well, I bought an HP Envy a wireless printer because the printer I had before was the Dell printer, which is a perfect little workhorse. Well, they don't make ink for it anymore, so I can't use that anymore. So I bought this wireless HP, which I've been trying to install, but that's not my question. As soon as I tried to install it, I kept getting pop-ups from driver updates, to install driver updates, and this slim cleaner for $49.95.
Oh, no.
Well,
Don't order slim cleaner, did you?
I went ahead and ordered it and paid for it, and now I'm afraid that it's compromised.
No, it's just a waste of money. It's not compromising your system.
It's not.
No, but this is, so remember I told you the issue with using XP is you're now in a security-free zone because Microsoft has stopped, as of a year and a half ago, supporting it. Actually, a year ago, April of last year. So there's no fixes for any problems with it. Software, newer hardware probably will never work quite right with it because they don't expect you to have a 10-year-old operating system. It's actually 15-year-old. So it's going to get increasingly difficult. I would not recommend banking on an XP machine. That really seems like asking for trouble. Now, this slim thing, you fell for an ad, a pop-up ad that does nothing. It's just, you know. They got your money. They got your $50. Probably not going to do anything bad to you. I would uninstall it.
Uninstall it because they took over my computer at one stage.
Oh, boy. Oh, you mean you talked to some people?
Yes.
And they took over your computer?
Yes.
Oh, boy. So now you don't know what they did. So, as I mentioned, we had actually the first call of the day was this. The best case scenario is they got $50.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is they got your credit card number. And that's the medium worst case. The worst case is they got your credit card, your $50, and they put something on your computer that will continue to make money on you in one way or the other. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Yeah. I'm sure you don't have your XP discs.
No.
And I'm thinking, have you been backing up your data?
No.
No.
I've got a new Apple.
You use the Apple for most other things.
Well, I'm just taking classes, and I'm just going to use it. And I'm going to get.
That's going to be your future. You won't have the problems you have with XP.
But I'm worried about my bank.
Well, disconnect that computer from the internet would be a good starting point. Anything that the bad guys could do would require access to your computer via the internet.
Yeah.
I would do your banking on the Mac going forward.
Okay.
You might change your bank's password. That's an easy thing to do. Wouldn't hurt. You probably should keep an eye on that credit card. Make sure that they don't charge other things to it.
Well, it's an American Express, and I don't worry about that.
Yeah, they're pretty good about letting you know if there's an issue.
Yeah.
And certainly it is the case with all credit cards that fraudulent charges you're not responsible for. I think you're probably all right. I think in most cases they're happy they got the $50. Why they wanted to go on your system though is a little scary. I'm not sure what they were up to there. Maybe that was part of the $50, right? We'll clean your system. We'll log in. Yeah.
That was part of it.
All right.
But I just wanted to know if I was. You know, I was going to have problems.
You might be compromised. That it's the pop-ups, the error message is the least of your problem at this point. Start using the Mac, and consider that machine compromised and disconnected from the internet if you can. If you really can't do that, you better do that. Let's just do that. There's really no other option. You don't want to continue to bank on that machine. First of all, it's been risky for the last year, and now it's really risky because it's been compromised.
Right.
We can't prove that it hasn't, I guess is what we're saying. It might not be, but we can't prove that it's secure.
Okay.
So anything you do with that computer, let's say you log on to your bank, they could have installed a keystroke logger that will send that password off to them at some point. So disconnecting from the internet would be the most prudent thing to do. You could still use it for whatever you can do without the internet.
Right.
That's safe. As long as you never again connect it to the internet. Because remember, everything you do, even while it's disconnected, may be recorded. And they just wait until they get back online and then upload it. So you can no longer establish a connection to the internet. I would say, you know, this is a machine you should probably stop using at this point. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But hey, you got a new computer. That's good. The Mac is much safer.
It's not a desktop. It's a laptop.
That's fine. You'll get used to it.
But
people don't buy desktops anymore. That's so 90s.
Yeah. So I should go into the store and have them help me get onto my bank then.
Well, do you you shouldn't have any trouble getting onto your bank. You're using the browser to do that, right? So you'll just launch the browser on your Mac, and you need your password. You don't know that anymore?
Yes, I do. Okay. I have the two passwords.
Good. Yes. Oh, you used a two-factor? So they text you a password? Or?
No, I've had it forever. I change it now and again.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I would change it and start using that new password from now on. And just don't use that old machine. Is there anything on there? Are your bank records something that you want to keep on there?
I'll have to go and look.
Probably not. Probably not. That's the other problem is there's no, you know, Internet Explorer has not been kept up to date. You have a very old version of that on there. That was unsafe to use with your bank. Chrome was being kept up to date for a little while, but they discontinued support for that a few months ago. Firefox is still okay to use on XP, but that's it. It's the last man standing. It's really gotten...
That's what I get onto the bank is with Firefox.
Oh, good. Well, at least that was secure. Continue. I would say not disconnect that machine from the internet. Don't use it on the internet anymore. Use your Mac, and you'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I've often wondered how people survive with technology. It's a mess. I'm just thinking about our last caller, and my just heart might goes out to her. She's trying to use a computer. She spent a lot of money for it 10 years ago. And the thing now is a snake pit, frankly. A security nightmare. Because Microsoft has abandoned it. Google has abandoned it. The manufacturer has abandoned it. Everybody's abandoned it except the user who continues to use it. And she's not alone. There are tens of millions of XP computers out there. I think it's still something like half of all Windows installations are running Windows XP. I don't know what the answer is to this. probably time for a new computer, really. And maybe, again, don't get a computer this time, a full-service, general-purpose computer. What does she do on it? She banks and does her email. That's a good candidate for a Chromebook. A lot less expensive, a lot more secure. And the thing is, if you only spend $300 for the computer, then in 5 years, you're not going to feel so bad about getting a new one. Whereas I can guarantee you, she probably spent $2,000 or $3,000 on that computer 10, 15 years ago. And so it's hard to give it up. I understand. I just don't know what the right answer is in a case like this, except that you can't use it anymore. It's just not safe. Kathy in Santa Ana, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you, Leo?
I am great. How are you?
I'm wonderful, too.
Good.
I'm just, in a week, I'm going to be on my way to Italy.
Ah, you're going to be doing even better.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about an app I heard about called Viber.
Yeah.
Where you can make free phone calls.
Yeah, Viber is like Skype. You've probably also heard of Skype, right?
I've heard of it. I've never done it.
Yeah, there are a lot of programs like this. They use the internet connection to make a call. So Viber's one, Skype's one. And also, by the way, you can do it with Facebook Messenger. There are lots of ways to use the internet to make a call. Here's the issue. The people you're calling in general have to be using the same program on the other end. Unless you spend some money to get a upgrade that lets you call regular phones, which you can do. My daughter, some years ago when she was in high school, spent her junior year in France. And before she left, I bought her a year's subscription to Skype, what's something called Skype Out, which let her make phone calls from France to any phone in the United States, cell phone, landline, any phone. It was $90 for a year, unlimited. That was a great deal. They still have deals kind of like that. So I'm not sure. I'll have to look and see if Viber lets you call. Yeah, they have something called Viber Out. But it won't be free. But it's a lot less than calling internationally. It starts at 1.3 cents per minute. So what you're going to do – now, remember, you have to have data. And what you really don't want to use is your carrier, your U.S. carrier's data in Italy. You're not going to do that, right?
I hope not.
You know about that pitfall.
Well, I mean, the hotels we're staying at are very nice.
Yeah. No, everywhere you go in Italy, certainly the hotels, most of the coffee shops will have Wi-Fi. And the quality will vary. But voice isn't super hard to do. Videos gets harder, but voice calls are not too hard to do. And they should work all right.
So you just have to make sure that the other person using it has the same app.
Well, it's free if they're using Viber.
Okay.
So if you know, I'm going to be calling my kids, just put Viber on their computer or on their phone, and you call Viber to Viber, or Facebook Messenger to Facebook Messenger, or Skype to Skype. Those are always free, with the exception of the data, but you got a data deal. And this is why I was warning you, don't use the data, your cell data, because international cell roaming is extraordinarily expensive.
If
you're hooked up to the Wi-Fi, it'll work fine. That's right. As a precaution, what I do advise people to do when they travel overseas is turn off data roaming.
Okay.
You'll see that in the settings of your phone. All phones, it'll be in the cellular section. And just click that box. Then it won't allow you to get on the international data networks. Now, it's good to know that that's there. Because let's say you're wandering the beautiful streets of Venice. And it is incredibly easy to get lost in Venice. Because it all looks the same. Old houses with the canals and boats. And, you know, guys singing songs. And it all looks the same. So you're lost. And you go, I don't know where the hotel is. Well, you can then, because I remember the setting. Now, this is an emergency only. Turn on international data. Find where you are. Use the map to get back to your hotel. Then turn it off again. Now, that might cost you $10, but that's worth it.
Okay.
Right. But don't use it for your Viber calls. So make sure you're on a Wi-Fi. You can also go to your carrier and buy some international minutes, but usually those are pretty expensive, too. Who's your carrier?
It's Verizon, and I believe I did have my son signed up once for international. I think it was only an extra $15 a month. So
for, get this, get ready, 250 megabytes.
Oh.
Which you will use up in about a minute. So it's not unlimited for a month. It's $15 for a tiny amount. Verizon is the worst of all of these. Sprint. The reason I asked is Sprint and T-Mobile both offer free slow internet internationally. As part, you know, you can say with Sprint, you have to tell them I need the One World plan. With T-Mobile, it's automatic. But if you're not on T-Mobile or Sprint, if you're on Verizon, you're on the worst one for this. They charge you a lot for it. So just basically, don't use international data.
Okay. Well,
but Wi-Fi is fine.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you can make calls. And if you buy Viber out, you can even make calls to regular landline phones. You don't have to have any special deal. So that's absolutely the best way to make phone calls to the United States.
Okay. Now my husband does not have a smartphone. He has one, but it hasn't been hooked up yet. Because my sister gave it to him.
Yeah. So either he's going to use your phone because you need a smartphone to do this because it's a computer program. These are computers.
Right. So I'm going to have to get that connected and show him how to use
it. Is he on Verizon as well?
Yeah.
It's easy. You just go to the Verizon store. They'll give you a SIM for it. And he'll have his number. His number won't change. He'll just be using this fancy phone. And by the way, when he gets home, he can go back to his old phone, which he'll want to do because he'll be so mad at you for making him use this crazy complicated phone. No, he might not. He might go, wow, what have I been waiting for? This is incredible. You've changed my life.
Exactly.
Where in Italy are you going?
He needs to get within the century.
Yeah. Welcome to the 21st century, my friend.
Thank you.
He's listening. No, yeah, he may curse you still. I don't know. Sometimes people.
Venice, Florence, and Rome.
Oh, man. Now I am jealous. You're going to have a wonderful time.
Yes.
You're going to have a great time. And it is, you know what? Smartphones are not a bad idea as you travel because they're for safety. You can get a Vaporetto. You can, you know, it really is nice to have. And you never get lost. So, highly recommend. Hey, have a great trip. We're going to take a break, but we will be back. More of your calls coming up. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy. Hey, where's my pill pack? Wait, this is actually a great travel tip. If you're traveling, the pill pack. Well, first of all, this is a better kind of pharmacy. This is a full-service online pharmacy with modern technology and a really great take on packaging. So that you'll wonder why you kept going to that old drugstore on the corner. With PillPack, you don't have to wait around for your prescriptions, sort your own pills, chase down your doctors for refills. They do it all. And they're pharmacists that you can talk to 24/7. So if you have a question, you can always ask. You can order all the medications and vitamins, and they're packed in these great PillPack pouches, which the date and the time is on there. They're easy to open. So you'll never have to say, did I take my vitamins this morning? Hey, no, it's right here. All your meds, all your vitamins. Now, of course, they also, it's a full service pharmacy. So if you've got creams and inhalers or diabetes supplies, they come too in refrigerated, easy to open packages. Shipping is always free. It's just what you pay normally for your copay for your pharmacy with your health insurance. It works with most insurance plans, including most forms of Medicare Part D. The service is free. You just pay the copay. And it's just such a better way. And when you run out, before you run out, they work with your physician to make sure you have your refills on their way. And you will always have. But I said this is a travel tip. Look at this. You just tear off the pouches you need for your week or your 2 weeks or whatever. And it's all there. You put it in your briefcase or your suitcase or your travel kit. And it's there. That's what I love. Here's what you do. PillPack.com/twit. Visit right now to sign up. Take a couple of minutes to get started. They'll, of course, make sure it's compatible with your insurance and all that. And when you transfer your prescriptions to PillPack via PillPack.com/twit, you'll get a credit for $20 worth of vitamins and over-the-counter meds. As a little thank you from us, PillPack.com/twit. It's a great travel idea. Look on the back so you know exactly. They do with image recognition, so they have images of each medication, so you can immediately say, oh, yeah, that's right. They tell you what the med is, the prescription number, the dosing directions. It's all there. It's all on the pouch, too. Just love this. Pill pack. Isn't that great? Modern tech. Talk about 21st century. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy, 88, Ask Leo. Look who's here. Dickie D. Dick D. Bartolo, Mad Magazine's maddest writer. And he's our little gizwiz.
He comes, the little gizwiz.
The littlest gizwiz.
Maybe I'll change my logo.
He joins
make
us.
Make it tiny.
Tiny. Well, you know, you're on in the Skype. Actually, your head is giant. You look like the Wizard of Oz here.
I am.
I'm the tiny little tech guy, and he's the giant gizwiz.
Today I am. Yeah, I did look very big today.
Every week Dick brings us something cool and unusual. What do you got for us today?
Well, you know what? I was at the houseware show, got in early this morning, the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas.
Oh.
And also, I wanted to mention something interesting that United's doing, and perhaps all the other airlines, on half their new planes. I think they ordered 40 new 900s. And half of them are going to have seatback entertainment, and half of them are going to have Wi-Fi entertainment. And one of my flights had that. So they send you an email the day before, and it said, download the United app and make sure you bring your own electronic device with you.
Isn't that interesting? Because I think most people nowadays don't watch the seatback screen.
No.
They have their tablet.
Yeah, so you go on the plane, and also it's very good because they announce before they say shut your phones off or shut your device off, they announce if you haven't downloaded the United app, this plane has Wi-Fi entertainment. Download it quickly while you can still use your phone plan. But Leah, the funny thing is in my bag, I had a Galaxy Note without a phone service, but McCarran has Wi-Fi, and I figured, you know, we're still at the gate. I bet the Wi-Fi reaches the plane, and it did. So I downloaded the app, and then once
weird that you can't use the Wi-Fi on the plane to get the app.
It is weird. It's weird because they say you can pay $2 and use the Wi-Fi, and then you buy a Wi-Fi plan for $2 to download the app. That's a little strange because the entertainment is free.
The entertainment is free. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, and then once you do that, you know why they're doing this.
They don't. Not only do they save money on the seat back stuff, but the weight is a big deal. Save a lot of money on fuel.
I once saw the wait to add in an entertainment system to every single seat, and it was amazing. Yeah. And then you bring up the menu, and mine had like 12 TV shows and about a dozen movies. Kind of fun.
That's not bad. Yeah, is the quality good?
The quality was fine. Oh, but it's stupid. I didn't even see which one it was. It was a Star Wars movie. Perfect choice for people to watch on their smartphone. The Gladiator 300 is Gladiator 3 Anyway, I'm going to tell you my favorite find. I'll do a couple of gadgets during the next few weeks. I think this is the funniest gadget I found at the National Hardware Show. So I'm going down the line, and there's this guy has a metal gate and like two dozen locks hanging on it. You know, heavy duty locks like you see on most industrial gates. And then it says the lock that's not a lock. I said to the guy, Randall, his name was. I said, Randall, what in the world is the lock that's not a lock? And he said, you ever hear about people using fake security cameras? I said, absolutely. ever hear about people put out high
fake security lock?
Leo, it's very funny. He said, what it is like a gate lock that's inside a heavy-duty casing. So when you leave and you want to give the appearance that it's locked, you just slam it closed. When someone just pulls on it a little, it feels locked. But if you give it a sharp tug, it unlocks. And he said, I said,
Dick, are you concerned you're giving away the secret?
Well, that's the thing. I will not be using. I will really be using it. Oh. But I will not be using the not a lock.
Who
lock.
Would use that? You're going to use real locks.
I'm going to be using real locks that look very similar to the not a lock lock.
Now, is this a TSA lock for your luggage? What is this for?
No. This is for, you know what? This is great like for my dock box. It is a pain in the neck when my dock box is on another dock because you can't have it in front of your boat. And when I'm doing a project, I'm running back and forth.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you. You can have a box on the dock of the boat, but not in front of your boat, in front of somebody else's boat.
Well, there is a main dock that's very wide.
Ah, so and that's every, where the every, docks boxes.
That's where everybody's dock box has
go.
To be.
I see. Okay.
So when I'm running back and forth, I hate locking the box every time. And I'm thinking, this is a perfect solution for that.
It's like when you put a sign, and they do this in New York City, in the window of your car that says, no radio inside.
Yes.
Right? Then somebody, so keep people from breaking the window. Even if there is a radio, a crook's just going to keep on going.
Well, if it's New York City, there's no radio inside because they're all gone already.
They got stolen, yeah.
No.
Okay, so this
just
is a
joke. New York City's very safe.
Where do I get this lock that's not a lock?
You get it at ekusa.com, or you can follow the link at gizwiz.biz, the tech guy page, and it's $15.
You know what else is a lock that's not a lock? Those TSA security locks for your luggage. You know why I say that? Because some nitwit posted a photograph of the key, the TSA key, and of course, everybody in the world can now make a 3D replica of that key. And so anybody who's stealing luggage at the airport has a copy of the key.
Unbelievable.
So they actually look for the TSA lock because they know it's easy. So there's another lock that's not a lock.
That's a lock.
That's a lock. Yeah, all right, so EKUSA makes the... They make a lot of things, too, like the ice shot ice tunnel.
Yes. The guys there are very weird, and they're a lot of fun.
They make a lot of strange
stuff. I know. Oh, I said to the guy, why did you invent this? And he said, we have a lot of bins in the yard of the warehouse, and we'd like to protect them, but we don't want to carry keys with us.
Well, if you do a search, you'll see that all the people like Yale who make real locks, if your lock doesn't work, they take it back. Obviously, they sell this to EKUSA as a dummy lock.
As a dummy lock.
Yeah, because it looks just like a real lock.
And it weighs a lot.
And it weighs a lot, but it doesn't do anything. Isn't that great?
Like my career.
You know what it's no key needed. Don't lock yourself out. Well, that's not going to be a problem. Keeps honest people honest. They don't say anything about dishonest people, but security without being locked out. Okay, well, they should put security in quotes, but how much is the dummy lock?
$15, $14.99.
Good deal. Yeah. Or you could just break your lock. Take my regular lock and break it.
That's a thought.
You know what I do? I leave the key in it. It's a convenience. It keeps honest people honest.
That's a great idea. It's like me. My combination lock, I write the combination on the lock.
Because you're going to forget
Dennis forgets.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Perfect.
You'll find Dick at gizwiz.biz. That's his website, gizwiz.biz. Brand new What the Heck Is It contest for May and June. And did you have some good winners in the last one?
We only had like four winners.
Wow. It was a hard one.
It was a little misting thing for your hose. But, you know, a lot of funny answers. A carrying container for your pet worm.
If you go to gizwiz.biz, you can play the game, win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Don't forget Dick's show, gizwiz.tv, the Gizwiz podcast, each and every week. Thank you, Dickie D.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great week.
You too, buddy.
Have a great geek week. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. See you next time. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.